Together, I invite us to go into the dark, to listen to our hearts and dare to enter the sweet confinement of our own aloneness. These are the places we listen to deep personhood, a place where the spirit of life and our own longings are indistinguishable from one another. Dante's Divine Comedy, beginning with his most famous work, Inferno, is a journey towards wisdom, and it is a journey that begins in the dark. Midway in our life's journey, he writes, I went astray from the straight road and woke to find myself alone in a dark wood. It is being alone in a dark wood, away from our usual paths, that we find the way of discernment, the way of wisdom, the way of our own call to life and love. This is the way to which I am inviting us today. In the poem we heard, Sweet Darkness, David White writes of the deep places we must go alone, where our eyes adjust to a kind of vision that daylight does not allow. The just past solstice is a celebration of that kind of darkness, the close and holy darkness, the time of dreaming seeds of frozen ground and sleeping bears, of resting sap and fallow fields. The darkest time gives us the gift of stars, guides we cannot see in the brightness of the sun. The poet admonishes us to go there into the dark, give up all the other worlds, except the one to which you belong. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your aloneness to learn anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. That last bit, that line, anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you, has had more practical impact on my life than perhaps any other line of poetry. In fact, it helped me leave a convent. A convent, you say? Indeed, in my late 20s, I was involved with an order of religious sisters, the Congregation of Sisters of St. Joseph of Baden, Pennsylvania. They are a wonderful group of women. Some of them are nuns on the bus, feminist, yay, collectivist, environmentalist, generally religiously progressive women. They advocate for living wages, for universal health care, for peace, for accessible and affordable child care. For the kinds of things you might expect followers of Jesus to advocate. But that actually isn't what drew me to them. Beneath their concern for what they'd call the kingdom of God on earth is a consistent, committed practice of prayer, meditation, and personal and communal discernment. They know, these sisters, they know to what worlds they belong. They have gone into the dark, and they make a practice of it. They taught me how to discern next steps, how to make decisions, how to pray, how to wait. And it is almost ironic that the practices they taught me, the practices of darkness and aloneness, led me to leave their community. Without rancor or anger, I realized that I could not do the intellectual, political, and theological juggling that Roman Catholicism demanded of me. I realized that the divine I know is larger than any doctrine, and I was squelched by teachings I cannot abide. So I had to give up a world to which I did not belong. The time I spent discerning leaving the community was an underworld journey, like that of the goddess Inanna from ancient Sumer. Inanna was the divine queen of heaven who once journeyed to the underworld realm of her sister, Ereshkigal. Say that three times fast. Before leaving, she tells her beloved friend and confidant, Ninshubur, that she is going. Along the way, at the gates to the underworld, Inanna is stripped of all her daylight authority, her belt of gold, her breastplate of lapis, her diadem of copper, and her scepter of rosewood, until eventually all that is left of her is imprisoned and helpless. But ultimately, according to this ancient text, Ninshubur sends two genderless people to save Inanna. The upper world queen is rescued by Ninshubur's love and returns to her own realm, restored and renewed, knowing to which world she belongs. I spent those last days before leaving the convent like Inanna on her journey. I spoke only with the most trusted friends. When I wasn't at work, I was likely at my prayer altar, a table decorated not only with an image of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, but also with candles, a chalice, a painting of a flame in the darkness of a well, and photographs of my ancestors. I ate alone. I went for walks by the creek that ran through the little town of Lily, where the convent had stood for 100 years. And ultimately, I came to understand that that world was a world to which I did not belong. I returned from this journey with new understanding. The underworld had changed me. There's yet another way of talking about this innermost self, this sweet confinement of aloneness, this darkness, and that is the wilderness journey, the way we hear about Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Mark, like much of the Hebrew Bible, is written in very short sentences, short images, short narratives. What other gospel writers would take a page to say, Mark says in one sentence. It's kind of nice that way. And it is my favorite of the gospels. Furthermore, in this particular image or narrative, the other gospels describe the Spirit descending and the heavens opening as a public experience. It says, listen to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. But in Mark, it's Jesus who hears these things. It's Jesus who sees the Spirit descending like a dove. It's Jesus' call. It's his personal experience. When he comes up out of the water, the journey begins for him. Immediately, we read, immediately we hear that that nice, gentle, dove-like spirit drives him into the wilderness. Drives him. That's a pretty intense thing. It's not this sort of dove-like experience. We see the flexibility of the spirit, the different ways in which our own deepest heart can move us. because this is the Spirit that lives within each of us and tells us that we should go where we do not want to go. This is the Spirit that pushes us, confronts us, and yet ultimately renews us. It is the Spirit Parker Palmer calls our authentic life in his book, Let Your Life Speak. That is, it is the part of us that knows best what we long for, hope for, dream for. It is the part of us that isn't afraid to take risks. If we listen, it will indeed push us, drive us, where we'd otherwise turn away or dig our heels in. If we don't dig our heels in, if we let it move us, we find a journey into our deepest selves. And in the Hebrew tradition, this journey is taken into the wilderness. Now, just 2 days ago, I drove out to the coast and saw some lovely wilderness. I took pictures of it. I visited it. I walked through it. And this is not the wilderness we are talking about. The friendly place we think of as wilderness is not the place to which Jesus was driven. The wilderness of the Bible is terrifying, dangerous, waterless, and inhabited by wild beasts. And the place the people of Israel and Jesus meet God. And so we read, he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, with the wild beasts, and angels waited on him. That's one line. Again, other gospel writers would take a page. But Mark gives us that one evocative image. Allow me, if you will, to sort of take it apart and see what we might find in it. So Jesus was in the wilderness. I've already said, not a friendly place. And our interior worlds can feel unfriendly. A place perhaps where we feel insecure and afraid of what we might find. Our interior worlds can be unfamiliar and places we have actively avoided by staying in the comfortable, civilized world of our work. We are invited, we may be driven, into the wilderness. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Now please, don't get hung up on the proper name. Just go right past it. Jesus was tempted by the roadblock, by the tempter. What is important here is not who's doing the tempting, but the temptation itself. What tempts us? What seduces us away from our mission? Where are our golden handcuffs? The places we choose to be comfortable rather than to be brave. We are invited, even driven, to confront our own temptations. Jesus was with the wild beasts. I love this part, right? Because it doesn't say he fought the wild beasts, or he resisted the wild beasts, or even he hid from the wild beasts. He was just with them. How can we be with the wild beasts of our interior? How can we just see them, acknowledge them, and be with them? We are invited, even driven, to be with those parts of ourselves that frighten us. And finally, angels waited on him. The angels in this passage remind me of Ninshubur in the Inanna story and of unlooked for help in heroes' journeys. The wise woman by the side of the road, the strange creature who offers a magical gift in response to a riddle. Angels are not simply folks dressed in dazzling white, though sometimes in the Bible they are. The angels of the inward journey are the surprising beings who help us when we think we may be beyond help. Remember, David White reminds us that in the dark, we can know we are not beyond love, the ultimate help. It is the angel of our journey who reminds us we are not beyond love. We are invited, maybe driven, to rest in the knowledge that even when we're alone, love holds us. Given all this, given all these little images, I'm going to read the passage from Mark again, and I invite you to close your eyes and imagine the scene. Perhaps you will put yourself in the place of Jesus in the scenario, or perhaps you experience it from one remove. However you see it is fine. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels waited on him. It is only after this wilderness experience that Jesus went out into the world and took on his famous ministry of good news for a people under empire, hope for the poor, healing of the wounded, and love for the stranger. Jesus knew who he was and the world to which he belonged. He was a child of God like every one of us. Not only because he heard it from the sky, but because he spent time in the sweet confinement of his aloneness, in the dark, in the wilderness. I invite us today to follow the example of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. I invite us into our own depths. I invite us to take time alone within and let it inform what we do in our daylight lives. Because going into the dark lets us see the stars that will guide us if we let them. Going into the wilderness reminds us of both our weakness and our strength. Going inward can result in our coming outward with joy and generosity, renewed in love for our fellow creatures. Knowing our deepest hearts can draw us towards the work of justice in a way that is sustainable, beautiful, effective, and life-giving. Our inward journey can lead us in our outward journey in ways that are nurturing for ourselves and others. Let us risk the dark. Let us risk the wilderness, even the underworld, risk them and emerge from those faraway places with minds cleared, hearts opened, and spirits renewed. Will you pray with me? Spirit of life, dear Spirit of love, we know that you are not always gentle with us, but we trust you. Let us learn to trust you better. We know that you, the Spirit of love, inspire our work for justice. And yet work is not the only place we find you. We are grateful for the still, silent voice in which you speak in the darkness of our hearts. Help us remember that time we spend seeking you in aloneness is well spent, time deserved, time needed. Help us trust that you will never leave us and that your guidance is there, always calling to us. We hear your call and we call to you in return. Thank you for the lessons you bring and the inspiration you offer. We pray all these things in your name, which in any language is love. Amen.